Number 9, once you find your place, I'll ask you to stand, and we're going to read two verses, Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, and then I'll give you a little outline that I gave you last week on these two verses, and then we'll get into the second point of that outline, and just we'll kind of give you some foundational information tonight, and then the Lord willing, we'll move into some more in the future. Isaiah 9, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. And we thank you that we know that your word is inspired and you have preserved it down through the ages, even into this generation forever, as you have promised us you would. And so it is with great confidence, as we open the Word of God tonight, that we know that it's the very Word of God. It's not tainted. It's not the Word of a man, nor of men, nor of a religious organization, but yet it is the very Word of God. And I pray that we would receive it as such. And I pray that as we study your word tonight, that you would open our understanding to your word, bring back to my remembrance the things that you've laid upon my heart to share in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Now, if you'll remember, last week we made it up to chapter 9 in verse number 6. And we said that there's three things in verses 6 and 7 that Isaiah points out here, and that is, number one, the mystery of Christ, and we talked about that, the mystery of Christ, and the mystery is that he's the God-man. He's 100% God, he's 100% man. He was, as Isaiah said here, he was a child that was born, that speaks of his humanity, and he was a son which was given, and that speaks of his deity, or he being God in the flesh. Now tonight, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at the second one, and that is the majesty. The majesty. We saw the mystery of Christ, and we're going to look at the majesty, and this deals with his rule. And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 6. It says that the government shall be upon his shoulder. And then if you'll go down in verse 7, it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And then the third thing that we'll look at in a future date is the latter part of verse number 6, which is the ministry of Christ. So we have the mystery, that is that he's 100% God and 100% man. He's the man Christ. And then we have the majesty, which is, speaks of his rule, his kingdom. And then the ministry. Now, what's the ministry of Christ? In chapter number 9 and verse number 6, in the latter part of that verse says that his name shall be called, and this speaks not just of who he is, but what his ministry is to his people. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we'll talk about that, as I said, at another time. I want to talk to you tonight for the time that we have remaining here, about 30 minutes or so. I want to talk to you about the kingdom, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I haven't searched this, and so I want to be just right up front that I haven't searched this, but I've read by a few who say that they've searched and that the kingdom age is spoken of more than any age in all the Bible. Whether it be a present age or the past, what's called the antediluvian age, the age of the flood, or the age of eternity, which is in the New Jerusalem. in the Age of Ages, which is beyond the millennial reign, but the millennial reign is a 1,000-year reign upon this earth, and that's what this is referring to. Now, there are some, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time about people that are in error. You know, I'm one of those that believe you don't really need to talk a lot about error. You just give the truth. Truth trumps error. Truth corrects error. I don't know that you need to get too deep into all these errors out there. And by the way, there's a lot of it. But there's one truth, and truth will clear up error. Now, there are those that say, well, you know, there is no millennial reign. In other words, that Christ will not come to this earth. He will not set up his kingdom on this earth and rule for 1,000 years. And they spiritualize it, and they say, well, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And the scripture, Jesus did say that in Luke 17, verse 21, the kingdom of God is within you. And they take that and they spiritualize the kingdom age. Well, there's way too much scripture that we're given to where it's going to be a literal time of 1,000 years upon this earth. And I want to show you, just give you a little overview of what this kingdom's going to be, and then we'll answer some questions about it in some future studies on Wednesday nights. Okay, so I want to give you a little overview. The first thing I want you to know about this is that it's literal. It's literal. Okay, this is not just something that you can spiritualize and say, well, you know, it's taking place now in believers. The kingdom is here and now. No, it's something that's going to take place, and God even tells us when it's going to take place. And we'll look at that in just a moment as well. But I do want you to notice what Isaiah said here. He talked about Jesus coming in verse number 6. He talked about a child being born, a son being given. And then he talked about the government. Now, did Jesus, here's a question. Did Jesus come to this earth? Yes. Literally? Yes. So, you know, you don't take some things literal and just, you don't get to pick and choose. Let me show you what I'm talking about. As you take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter number 1. In Luke chapter number 1, very familiar passage of Scripture, especially around the Christmas season. You'll hear a lot of reading and preaching out of Matthew and Luke about the birth of Christ. In Luke chapter 1, we have a few references to Isaiah 9:6 as far as subject matter. And I want you to see this. In Luke 1, the angel in verse number 30, Luke chapter 1, are you there? Luke chapter 1 in verse number 30, the Bible says, the angel said unto her, meaning Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You there? Luke 1 verse 30. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now let's talk about this just for a moment. Did that happen? Yes. Literally. Yes. You know, there's more historical proof that Jesus was born and walked this earth than that George Washington was the first president of the United States. That's right. I said historical proof. All right. I'm not looking for proof. I've met him, so I don't need him digging up relics and artifacts. Amen. But for some people, maybe they need that. I've met him. But I want you to see that's literal. Okay, it's literal. And so that literally happened. Look at verse number 32 of Luke chapter 1. He shall be great. Is that so? I would say so. 2,000 years, we're still talking about him. Amen? There are still people meeting talking about this Jesus. And for even those that don't believe, they're talking about him. And so did that happen? Yes. Literally. He, in verse number 32, shall be great. Look at the next. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Son of God. Is Jesus referred to, is he known as, is he looked to as the Son of the Highest? Yes, literally. Now watch this next phrase in verse 32. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, why would I want to say, well, no, that's not going to happen. All that other stuff has happened. See, people who do not rightly divide the word of truth don't take Scripture with Scripture, because Scripture interprets Scripture. And so you cannot read Isaiah 9:6 and pick and choose what you want, nor can you in Luke 1. Look at verse number 33. and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. All right, now that's, listen, that's almost verbatim what God told the prophet Isaiah. So Jesus is going to come to this earth, and he's going to set up his kingdom. Now, what's going to take place in that kingdom? Well, I want you to go back to Isaiah chapter number 11, and I want to give you a few things, and we'll get just a little bit of an overview. Now, while you're turning to Isaiah chapter number 11, I want you to try to imagine something. And listen, in this evil, wicked, violent world that we live in, and by the way, it's always been this way. Now, it's waxing worse and worse. I understand that. But don't you ever think now that 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 400 years ago, that there was no violence, that there was no wickedness, that there was no evil. Don't ever think that. You know when there was no evil? When Adam and Eve were in the garden before the fall. Amen. Not on this earth anyway. Since then, this earth has known nothing but violence. It wasn't very long now, very long after Adam and Eve sinned and got thrown out of the garden and excommunicated, that one of their sons murdered the other. It shows the darkness of man and the need of man of God. And so in our minds, if we're not careful, we'll develop this mindset. Well, you know, it's just become this way. No, it's always been this way. It's just getting more and more wicked. Jesus said that the love of many in the last days shall wax cold. It's going to wax worse and worse. Now, those who do not believe in the millennial reign of Christ, they have a little different take on it. They spiritualize it. Then there are those who think, well, these are what you call, those are called amillennialists, by the way, no millennial reign. And then there's those that, well, they're postmillennial. In other words, what they believe is we're going to usher in the kingdom. Now, it's hard for me to say that without smiling, almost breaking out into a laugh, because that, listen, I'm not being mean here. It boggles my mind how someone could really believe that things are getting better and that one day it's going to get so good that Christ is going to just be pleased to come and set up his kingdom right here upon this earth because the world has become better and better. That is the post-millennial reign. We believe in what the Bible teaches as the pre-millennial reign, and I'll discuss that with you as why we believe that as we get deeper into this study. So if you look at Isaiah chapter number 11, I want you to picture this in your mind. I want you to picture an earth with no war. Now, ever since you've been born, there's been wars and rumors of wars. Ever since the dawn of time, wars and rumors of wars. Picture an earth with no wars. As a matter of fact, picture an earth where all the artillery of man is beaten down and used as plowshares. It's used to cultivate the fields, and the money that's spent on armaments and the money that's spent on military is used to make the world more productive as far as producing things from the soil of the earth. Did you know that's what the Bible says is going to happen in the millennial kingdom? Sure is. I'm going to show you that from the Bible. Then picture a world where there'll be little to no disease. Picture a world where there'll be swift and immediate judgment. Now picture that world. I'm not talking about getting convicted of a crime and then being dealt with 10 years down the road, 25 years down the road. Swift and immediate. And it's because of who's going to be in charge. The law will have teeth. The Bible says about the millennial kingdom that Jesus Christ, and I'm going to show you these scriptures, shall rule and reign with a rod of iron. See, Jesus is going to be in charge, brethren. And the saints of God, I'm going to show you from the scripture, that the saved of the earth shall reign with him. Now, the Bible teaches that. All right? Going to reign with him for 1,000 years. Not in heaven now, on this earth. This earth right here. That's going to happen. And it's the worship's capital, the worship center, the worship capital of the world is going to be in Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ himself, not an angel, not someone else, not an archangel, not Gabriel, not Michael. Listen to me now. Jesus Christ himself is going to sit on that throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule, and he's going to reign there, and there's going to be highways that lead into that place where people just flood that capital place to hear the Lord teach. And the knowledge of the Lord, the Bible says, shall cover the earth. Won't that be something? You say, preacher, is that possible? It's not only possible, it's going to happen. That's going to happen. Now, I know, I realize it's hard for us now in the state as we look around, wars, rumors of wars, violence, kingdom rising up against kingdom, hunger. Picture a world where no one hungers. That's a great picture. Amen? Picture a world of world peace. It's wonderful, but it's not this world. It's the age to come that's going to take place on this earth. It's the millennial reign. See, the curse is going to be reversed or lifted. The Bible says in the book of Romans in chapter 8 and verse number 22 that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for its redemption. You know, this earth's under a curse. See, man's not the only person under a curse. The whole creation is under a curse. But the curse is going to be lifted. Watch in here, and I'll give you just a few examples in Isaiah 11. Look at verse number 4. And this is speaking of the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 11, it says in verse number 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, I'm again going to show this from the scripture, maybe tonight, maybe in a later session, where believers will be on this earth in the millennial reign, but there will be others that will come from tribulation into the millennial kingdom. And they're going to be proved, and there's going to be a gospel. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. All right? And the Bible says here in verse number 5, and the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. In other words, Jesus is going to set the law. Jesus is going to be in charge, brethren. Jesus is going to be in charge. Not the president of this country or the leader of another country. Jesus is going to be in charge of every place upon this earth. And he's going to set up governors and leaders of the believers. It's going to rule and reign in the cities around this world. Now, the Bible teaches this. You need to know this, all right? How we live in this life is going to determine some things in the life to come. Now, I want to make this very clear, because somebody's going to leave here and say, well, you know what? I might not make it to heaven. I'm saved, but the preacher said how I live determines if I'm going to make it to the next life. I did not say that. I said how you live is going to determine some things in the next life. It's not going to determine if you get there. What determines that is if you're saved in the grace of God. Say amen. If you're saved in the grace of God, you're going to heaven. And part of the package deal, and I'm not in any way minimizing or mocking what God has done for us in his great salvation, but part of that package deal is you get to spend 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom that Christ is going to have right here on this earth. All right? Look, if you would, in verse number 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. That's kind of unusual. But it's going to happen because the curse is going to be reversed. It's going to be removed. All right? That's going to be wonderful. It is. Let's read on. And the leper shall lie down with the kid. Now, that's a goat, okay? And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isn't that something? Animals that you would normally want to keep your children away from, there's going to be no danger there. No stampeding, no biting, no clawing, no mauling. Why? Because the curse is going to be removed. All right? It's going to be a place of peace and togetherness. the way God intended it to be. And then he said in verse number 7, the cow and the bear shall feed. That's kind of two unusual animals to feed together, isn't it? What is God given this prophecy for? He's wanting us to see some things that are, were never meant to be, but the curse brought them about. And it's going to be reversed. It's going to be removed for this 1,000 years. Then he said, their young ones, in verse number 7, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. So you won't have to worry about no lion feeding on you. Say amen right there. Then he said in verse number 8, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp. In other words, you might have a little child out here, and there he is over the burrow or the hole of an asp or a copperhead or a diamondback rattler, and instead of you getting all tore out of the shape, you'll just laugh. That's what the Bible says. So I pray, that's fairy tale. No, that's reality. This is going to happen. See, we've gotten so, our minds are so fixed on the way things are that if we're not careful, we'll think it's always going to be this way. Number one, it never was intended to be this way. And number two, it's not going to stay this way. And number three, I'm glad that I'm going to be a part of the way that God's going to make it, aren't you? I'm glad that I know the way this thing's going to end. Now, I'm asked all the time, how's the world going to end? The way God said it was going to. I've read the final chapter. It's going to end the way God said it was going to end. And we're right on course. We're right on course. There's prophecies being filled every day, brethren. We're right on course to the end of time where God is going to bring all things into truth as it is written in His Word. So I wanted you to see this. Now I want you to, and I could show other scriptures, but I want you to turn to Revelation in chapter number 19, and we'll answer some questions. Now this millennial reign, there's some things going to happen. The Bible says that man's life is going to be much longer. You'll still be considered a child at 100 years old. What do you think about that for those of you having birthdays today? 100 years old, still be a child. That's something. The quality of life is going to be just so much different than the way we know it. We're under a curse. You know, life is wonderful as it is. I don't even think our minds can really fully fathom the way it's going to be as God's going to grant it. But as I read the scripture, I'm looking forward to this. I just don't want to get too involved. Listen, we have responsibilities, and I'm not saying go sell everything you have and live in a tent. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this. Don't get your stakes too deep in this old world. We're just passing through here, brethren. We're just passing through. There's a better day coming. And it does matter how you live now. I want you to understand this. It matters how we live in this life. It's going to make a big difference in the life to come. And we'll talk about that a little bit. All right, so you're in Revelation 19. All right? In Revelation 19, we have the marriage supper. See, one day Jesus is going to come and get us. You know, that's the next thing, that major event that's going to happen on God's prophetic calendar, right? You can talk to me. I said, right? What's that called? Somebody say it. The rapture. God's going to call us out of here, all right? God's going to call us out of here. And we talked about that a little bit Sunday, about those 24 elders around the throne on those seats, right? We're going to see them in just a moment here again, all right? They're coming back. Now, when we leave this earth, there's going to be a 7-year. Now, in heaven, there is no time. You understand that. God knows no time. The only time God knows is when He chooses to bring Himself within it for the sake of man. God is outside of time, space and matter. He's God. He made all of that. Amen. You understand that. And so when you try to figure God out, unfortunately, you're trying to do it from your mind, your little brain. And that's why people get all perplexed and, you know, upset and all torn out of shape because they can't figure God out, because they're trying to put Him into something that they're not, that He's not. You can't put God in time, space, matter. You can. He's outside of all that. He made all of that. And so when we inside of that try to figure that out, it doesn't work. Quit trying to figure God out and just get a relationship with him. See, that's what man needs to do. So the rapture of the church is going to take place. Here on this earth is going to be 7 years of tribulation. 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. And we're getting ready to wind it down here in Revelation number 19. Okay? The great religious system that's called the Great Horde has just been taken down, and there's rejoicing in heaven because that system that tried to rob God of his glory has been broken and taken down. And so there's rejoicing, and you'll find hallelujah in chapter 19 verse 1, chapter 19 verse 3, hallelujah, chapter 19 verse 4, the latter part, amen, hallelujah, chapter 19 verse 6, the latter part, saying hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. So this is the marriage supper. There's two things going to take place in heaven while the tribulation, the great tribulation, is going on in this earth. The marriage supper and the judgment seat of Christ. All right? Now every believer will be at those. Listen to me now. Every believer that's part of the church will be a part of that. Okay? The church is going to be a part of the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, I found something very, and I have it marked right here in my Bible. I want you to notice something. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. Usually, at the marriage, the bride is the big deal, right? And at a wedding. But I find it very interesting that here, it's the bridegroom. It's the bridegroom that's given all the attention, and well, he should be. He should be. And so I'm thankful for that. And it says, in verse number 9, it says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So here's the marriage supper, and it's closing out. Now what's going to happen? Well, getting ready to close out the tribulation period. All right? So we're going to saddle up. That's what the Bible says. We're going to saddle up. And the Bible says in verse number 11, I saw heaven open. Now, if you were here Sunday morning, you remember in chapter 4, we saw heaven open. That was to let us in. In chapter 19, verse number 11, heaven's open to let us out. All right? Because there's a difference in the rapture of the church, which is Christ coming for his saints, and the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's Christ coming with his saints. In the rapture of the church, Christ comes and takes us in the air. Is that what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4? Listen to me now. Is that what it says, brethren? To meet them in the air. Read that scripture there sometime. It's right there in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. He's going to come and take us. He's going to call us up to him in the air. We're going on to heaven. And that's what's going to kick all things in, all this into motion. After that 7-year tribulation here upon this earth, tribulation 3.5 years, great tribulation, the marriage supper, and then you have the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. Now we're getting ready to come back to this earth. We're going to talk about him setting up his kingdom. That's what we're talking about. And it says here in verse number 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now we know who that is. But just in case you don't know, verse 12 says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. You say, what's that name? Well, I think what we're being told here is there's just some things about Jesus Christ you'll never understand. I think this goes back to Isaiah's prophecy. All right? A child born, a son given, 100% God, 100% man. There's just some things about Christ that our little minds cannot figure out. Because, see, this is God's plan. This is not man's plan. Man gets in trouble when he starts trying to figure God out. What we need to do is we need to start figuring out what God wants us to do. Not try to figure God out. Figure out what he wants you to do. You see, that's where we mess up. And so it says here that he had a name written, verse 12, that no man knew but he himself. In other words, there's just some complexities about the person of Jesus Christ you'll never figure out. All right? We need to understand that now. Because the sooner we understand that, the better off we'll be with letting God be God and us be us. I heard some old country preacher many years ago say it, and I've never forgotten it. He said, you know, he said, grand day of my life when I figured out God is God and I am not. That's just as simple as it can get. And yet we think because of our much learning that we can figure God out. Well, I went to school and I figured God out. No, you didn't. You ain't even got yourself figured out. And so it said here in verse number 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And we may talk about that at a later time. I don't think that was his blood. I think it, when you read Isaiah 63, I think it's the blood of the enemy. And it says, and his name is called the Word of God. Well, now, see, John 1, we know who this is. We know who this is. This is Jesus. He's heaven's language to man, the Word of God. Look, if you would, in verse number 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Who is that preacher? Well, just look what they have on. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. All through the book of the Revelation, that is a description of the church. The church. All right? So we're coming back at the close of the tribulation. What are we coming back here for, preacher? Well, let's read on. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. All right. We're getting ready to talk about his kingdom now. We don't want Jesus to rule in this world. We don't want Jesus to rule and reign on this earth. He said, well, you know, I'm going to. We don't want it. Well, I'm going to. We'll resist it. Don't do that. You'll find yourself in a very precarious situation, as these did. And the Bible says he treadeth the winepress of the fierce of the wrath of Almighty God. And it said in verse number 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't try to resist him. All right? Now, I'm not going to read this for sake of time, but you'll find where he defeats these armies that stand against him with the beast and the false prophet. All right? And the Bible says that in the latter part of verse number 20, that these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. That's the beast and the false prophet. You say, what about the devil? Well, he's on his way. We'll read about that later on. So you got the picture. Everyone have the picture. Listen, this is really going to happen. This is not fable. This is not fantasy. This is reality. And this is going to happen. Maybe today, Jesus could come. And if he does, it's going to start a domino effect into motion, everything that I just read to you. He's going to take us out of here. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. And the Bible says that when we meet there, we meet him in the air, we're going to go on to heaven. And we'll have the judgment seat, the marriage supper, the tribulation here. Now at the close of the marriage supper, the Bible says we're coming back to this earth. Kind of like a honeymoon. All right? There's been a marriage. There's been a wedding. The marriage supper's taking place, and now they're going to a getaway place. And the Bible says in verse number 20, and I saw an angel. Now, there's some things we learn from this, so I want to just point out a few things, and I'll be finished for tonight. The first thing I want to point out is that the word thousand years or phrase is used six times in seven verses. I want you to mark them, okay? Look at the latter part of verse number 2. A thousand years. Look right toward the last phrase in verse number 3, till the thousand years should be fulfilled. In verse number 4, the last words there, a thousand years. Right in the middle of verse number 5, until the thousand years were finished. The last words of verse number 6, a thousand years. And the first words of verse number 7, the thousand years. See, that's where we get our millennial. That's what we call this kingdom. It's a millennial. It's a thousand-year reign of Christ. And it's going to be right here upon this earth. You see, we've left heaven in, in chapter 19 and verse number 11, we've left out of heaven. And we came to this earth in chapter 19, and now in verse number 20, we're on the earth, all right? Some things are going to take place on this earth for 1,000 years. Now let's see some of the things that's going to take place, and then we'll be through for tonight. We'll get a little deeper into it in the weeks to come. I want you to notice something that I find very, very interesting. Let me back up just a second. I thought of this today when I was kind of looking over this again. Did you notice something that happened? And I didn't get into it in great detail, but so here we are saddled up on our horses and we're coming back. You say, well, that's not going to happen, preacher. Oh, yes, it is. You better get ready. Amen. Yes, it is. It's going to happen. And we're coming back, and here we are like this army, like we're going to do something. You know, like here we are. And we don't do anything. The Bible says that Jesus smites them with the sword that proceedeth out of his mouth, which is the word of God. And I thought about this, and I've known this, and I know this, but it just gave me a measure of comfort. You know, God will always fight our battles if we will allow him to. God will always fight our battles if we will allow him to. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. God will allow us to fight our battles if we insist. If we insist. See, God could have allowed David to fight Goliath had he insisted. But he clearly said the battle was the Lord's. That's what he said. You go through the scripture and you find where these people that God fought their battles, they acknowledged that they wanted God to fight their battles. And so here, Jesus wins this battle without his army, is what it's called in chapter number 19, if you look in verse number 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him. That's us. You'll find nowhere in this passage of scripture, anywhere else, where we do anything. We're just there to, well, like we do a lot of times, just enjoy the ride. Amen. I'm enjoying this ride in life. And I know I'm going to enjoy this one. Now, I don't even like horses. Don't get mad at me. Somebody's going to leave. Somebody's going to get mad. Oh, the preacher don't like horses. He's an animal hater. No, I'm not. I've just got a complex. And I think I've told you, I got thrown by a horse one time and I've never gotten over it. And I'm not a snowflake, so don't go there. But I'll learn to like to ride horses again one day. Don't have to. Brethren, God will fight you battles if you'll let him. I don't know what you're going through, but just give Jesus the reins. Just turn it over to him. God will fight you battles. All right? Chapter 20. He said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, I want you to underline that phrase in verse number 1, an angel. All right? And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, here's something I learned that I want you to know. You probably already know it. If you're not careful, you'll think, boy, that devil. I mean, like if God is a number 10 in power, the devil's a 9.5. He can't even handle an angel of God. Just so you know. Amen. And he said, I'll fight him. No, wait a minute. You're not an angel of God. You might think you are. But you're not. You're a child of God. And he'll fight your battles for you. Amen. But don't you go trying to take the devil on. We'll have to bring some ministry to you. Amen. Listen to me now. But we do find out something here that there was an angel, one, not angels, look at it, an angel, one, who laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years. Now, one angel did that. Now, Jesus said that he had legions. Listen, he could have called 10,000s of angels. He's got many myriad of angels at his disposal. But he said, I just sent one to take care of the devil. Isn't that something? And I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. Is that what the Bible says, brethren? That's what it said. So don't you think, well, I hope God can take care of the devil. Oh, that's not going to be a problem at all. If you worried about that, you sleep well tonight. That's not going to be no problem. I can tell you that. God's got this thing under control, brethren. It's not even close. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. And he cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And we'll talk about that. Verse 5, and this is where I want to close, okay? And I saw thrones. Now, here they are. Now, in this 1,000-year reign of Christ, the reason that we're going to have all those things that I mentioned to you, pristine conditions, little to no disease, no sorrow, no sadness, there's going to be, listen, there's going to be longevity of life, the crop life, no war. I mean, things are going to be grand. And one of the chief reasons being is that, certainly the major reason is that Jesus is going to be sitting on the throne. But another chief reason is that Satan is going to be bound in the bottomless pit during this 1,000 years. That's what the Bible teaches. All right? And then it says in verse number 4, I saw thrones and they sat upon them. Now, who was sitting upon those thrones in Revelation chapter 4? Remember those 24 seats around the throne? Here, John said, I saw thrones, I saw those seats. He's getting back now. We're getting back to the church in chapter 4 of Revelation. Remember those seats? The 24 elders representing the redeemed were there. And he said, I saw those seats, and he said, and those that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And now here's another group of believers. Watch this. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Those are the tribulation saints. How do you know? Because the Bible interprets itself. Look at what it says right after that. I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, for which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or their right hands. During the tribulation, when the word went out, you can't buy or sell or conduct business in case you receive the mark. They refused the mark, and so they were beheaded for their testimony of accepting Jesus Christ. So those are tribulation saints. So we have the saints of God, the tribulation saints, and this is what I want you to see as we close. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They didn't just live. They lived and what? Reigned. Look, if you would, in the latter part of verse number 6. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, as we continue our study along the way, we'll talk more about that. Reigning. Living and reigning. What we do in this life does affect the life to come. All right? You say, well, preacher, as long as I make it to heaven, they can just put me over on a little shack by the crystal clear river. Listen, I don't know who writes those kind of songs, but they don't read their Bible. And don't you fall into that. There's not an ounce of truth to any of that. It makes a difference how you live. Serve Jesus with your life so that you could be a governor over cities, so that you can please him and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so that when we live with him in that kingdom, we shall also reign with him in that kingdom. All right? The millennial kingdom, it's real. Oftentimes, we Christians, we leave out the millennial kingdom altogether. You can stand to your feet now. And we'll talk about, well, you know, we're going to live in this life, and then after that, we're going to heaven. Well, we are, but now listen. Don't forget, there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, 1,000 years, brethren, that's a long time. Amen. That's a long time. And we're going to be on this earth for 1,000 years before we go to the New Jerusalem. All right? So it makes a difference. It makes a difference.